Blog Talk Radio.
I am going to get Panko for that one. I thought I unhooked it. I do. That's probably a Blog Talk Radio faux pas. And good evening, everybody. Just proceed. On down into the corridor here. We'll be in the theater in the moment. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to our once-a-month The Ceremony air show that generally we have about, well, we just have a collection of different people who are ceremonialists from several different traditions. The problem with having several different people on tonight would have been that, well, there wouldn't have been a problem. It's just that tonight is not a ceremony as we usually do it. I have Ruth Ann Amartafio of Air Amartafio and Anita Stewart from Wise Woman Media, the Friday night show on Here Be Monsters. And together we're going to... I'm sorry, people, I'm having all kinds of little windows pop open on me for some reason. I sound like a fool, but I am actually not. Tonight, what we're going to do is continue what Nicole and I and Jack and I were doing all weekend and what Ruth Ann, or Ra, as we call her, has been doing over at Air Amartafio. It is the season. It is the time to give and support those in our communities who don't have enough. If we have food, a warm place to be and sleep and the comfort of self-awareness that says, I'm all right, well, we're doing a whole lot better than many of the people in America right now. And so this month's ceremony show is about raising money. We're going to try and reach out and give you some contacts and talk about the people from the Gulf to tribal communities and every place we can think of where you and we have connection to that you can reach out to and do some good. So first thing I'm going to do is say hello to Ra. Hello, Ruth Ann.
Well, hello, hello. This is something that I think is really important because sometimes people get so wrapped up in what they're wanting or what they're giving people who really don't need anything else that, you know, we forget about the people who really don't have the clothes, they don't have the food, they don't have heat.
Right.
And, you know, so we're really blessed. And it's time to start spreading this around, I think.
Well, and reaching back out and giving back is really important. And in that wave, I'm going to say good evening to our Friday night hostess. Anita Stewart is with us. Hi, Anita. She was with us.
Oh.
I see her. I've got her live here on the microphone.
Anita, come back.
But apparently she's what was the mother used to say? What do you?
What happened?
A little humor doesn't hurt. Anyway.
Last night, Blog Talk threw a couple of my people off, too. Last night or the night before.
Well, it could possibly, because it says I have her here and that she's live. And... Well, she's not. She isn't live. She's gone down. So perhaps she's having,
okay.
We're getting folks thrown off. Okay, we're going to open this up with a moment of bringing the energy to us. And we're going to do that with some magical music and something so wonderfully old and well-worn. We're going to play for you. Okay?
We love it. Yes.
3 minutes of wonderful.
The earth, the air, the fire, the water, and the river.
That mellowed it all out for us, so it brings the energy down. So, Ra, why don't you start out for us this evening and tell us a little bit about who you've been working with and in which direction we can send some energy, some light, some prayers, and goods, and money, and toys, and blankets, and food. Which direction?
I'd love to, yes. I've interviewed some people about the Pine Ridge Reservation and Rosebud in South Dakota.
Right.
And after this coming Friday, I have on Jim LaPointe from the American Indian Movement is coming back, and he'll be talking about that among several other topics. But I don't know if people understand South Dakota is really prairie and is very cold. Winter came a little bit earlier this year. And then land, and it's already been down to minus 25 degrees there. Now, like every government that we know of, the tribal council is also, it has its crooked people.
Right.
And they are supposed to be going around and winterizing homes. I've only been to ones in Idaho, Shoshone Bannock, and they have a lot of buildings made out of cement blocks. So if you understand cement blocks, they're not insulated, okay? They're,
right.
So there's no insulation in the homes. And a lot of these are multifamily dwellings. They're really old. So they're not only not insulated, but they have a lot of cracks. The wind, those prairie winds whip through. There's a lot of people in a lot of danger, actually, the elders particularly and young children, as always, those are the most vulnerable in any society.
Yeah.
But we have a lot of different generations, three or four living in the homes, and there is a program set up now, and you can go on Facebook and look the Tetuan, that's T-E-T-U-W-A-N, Grandmother Society Winter Relief Fund. Now, what they're doing, Katandi Bulger is our contact person there, And I can give out her phone number. It is 909-496-1126. Now, Katandi has been out getting lists of families that are running out of fuel or have already run out of fuel. If when you call her, she'll give you the name of, like, the next person, the next family on the list, and the name also of the Lakota Plains Propane Company. And you can just call them and tell them you want to pay X number of dollars on so-and-so's bill, or, you know, you want to pay this money so that they can have some propane. And
right.
that's the way that works. And so she doesn't handle any money. Also, you'll call her, ask her if you have blankets, because, like she's saying, you know, a lot of people don't have money, but maybe they have blankets or something. Maybe they could get them there. Of course, that's easier if you live close to the area, but even if you send them not first class, it wouldn't. The cost is not that great to send things.
No,
and
all you have to do. Let me interject this so people know. If you have warm clothes that you're about to get rid of or blankets that you can send out to Pine Ridge, all that's going to cost you if you go in and say, I would like to send this book class, it'll be very inexpensive.
Okay. So saying book class, and it might take a little longer, a few days maybe?
It will, yes.
Yeah. But it's well worth, you know, instead of maybe that extra whatever you were going to buy for somebody who didn't need it, or some extra lunch you were going to have with someone over the holidays, the money would be so much better spent in helping people who are really, really desperate. The majority of the people get some type of aid or a food stamp help and things, but also there's no stores. Like we would think it's what in the city is called a food desert. Because they have convenience stores. Myrna Young Bear was telling me about that. There's just no, like, no produce. There's nothing except, you know, the junk that you find in any convenience store. This is what the people are living on. So,
where do they send it to? Is there an address that we can, I will type it into the
chat? No, call the number I gave.
Okay, so they should
and
call
Katandi Bulger, 909-496-1126.
496, what were the last four digits?
1126.
It's like, you know, you get it into the chat room and people write it down at their leisure.
Right. I wanted to say also, I haven't been, she hasn't told me to, I'm trying to think, to give out her address. Well, her address, I don't have it right handy, Young Bear. I don't. If somebody will message me, I can give you an address. I don't really want to give it out over. You know what? I can. She said I could give it out. So her address is Post Office Box 96.
Okay.
This is Myrna Young Bear in Porcupine, South Dakota.
57772. Yes. Myrna, what's her last name again?
Young, Y-O-U-N-G, then Bear, B-E-A-R.
Okay. I've written it down. I'll put it into the show notes later. Anita,
yeah.
Can you hear us?
Yep, I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
Well, yes. Finally, we can hear you. Welcome.
I'm just so glad you guys are doing this show. There's so much need in these local communities here in Tampa as well. In the Bay Area, I just heard about something an hour ago, believe it or not, and posted it as a status on my Facebook page.
Do you have the information?
And this is the message. This is from Thomas Flessis, who actually lives in Dade City, which is about 15 miles south of me. And so I posted it as a status, and I put, for Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Ridge Manor, Wesley Chapel people, his message was, my sister Kelsey Blackstone and our family are collecting non-perishable food items to donate to the newly forming food pantry in Dade City, Florida, next door to Save-A-Lot. So for you people in Dade City that need to know where Save-A-Lot is, it's in the same strip mall as the Big Lots. To help them get off the ground quicker, please let us know if you have a donation. We will gladly come and pick it up. Non-perishable items only, please, and thank you very much. Happy holidays and Merry Christmas. If anyone wants to help out or get more involved with this, please call me at 352-807-4839. Again, 352-807-4839. And tell them that Anita sent you.
I have an idea on that. Maybe, you know, I had wondered, and somebody told me that hand can openers are much appreciated.
They are very
hand can openers, because you can't open them with those little horrible things that you get from the dollar.
Right,
right. They don't work. And then if you open them wrong, you end up cutting yourself. So it's really... That's some real serious stuff. If it's not a pop-off can top, and you're not using one of those really good can openers, you know, especially when you're letting your kids prepare their food, if they're home from school and you're not back from work, it's an accident waiting to happen. It's definitely not safe. So good can openers, really good can openers, and they probably cost about, I would say the good ones, $10 to $15. That's a big, hefty amount of money for people that don't have any money.
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what. I just bought one, a really nice one, over, and it's got the very thick plastic handles on it so that you can easily manage it, and it's a, you know, it's a clamp down and roll it. Pretty good can opener. A hand can opener, and I got it at the dollar store, and I paid $2.99 for it. So it can be
good.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, maybe they're starting to carry the really good ones in the dollar store, and that would be great if that's the case in all of them, you know. So,
And those
you know, a lot of the people that have transportation, they don't have the luxury of being able to get to specific, you know, dollar stores that might carry them. So I hope they all carry them. But I also wanted to give a shout out to the Refuge in St. Pete. The Refuge is at 3301 58th Avenue North in St. Petersburg, Florida. The phone or the zip is 33714. You can drop items off there if you prefer. Or you can get in touch with Reverend Bruce Wright on Facebook and speak with him directly about the current needs, because those change weekly. And the Refuge is one long-time organization that helps the poor and homeless in St. Petersburg specifically. So I hope somebody out there hears this and can help. And that's Reverend Bruce Wright, W-R-I-G-H-T, on Facebook. Just look up Bruce Wright.
Great.
And
great.
The other big one in Tampa is Metropolitan Ministries, which they have just gotten huge, huge kudos from the community about how they handle everything. You can go to www.metromin.com. www.thehealingfrequency.org. And you can give items, you can give money, you can drop things off at the thrift store, you can, there's just a myriad of ways to help. So check out the website. And those are my three that I thought were really the most important.
Okay. And when you've been talking with the Frontline Holiday people.
Yeah. I have several places to really talk about here that I'd just like to get their information back out in front of folks again. They're all affiliated. These are Gulf families from Alabama and Mississippi and Louisiana. These are the folks that are working there to help the environmental crisis dispossessed families and all of the folks that are dealing with everything that's happened via weather and oil spills and everything else in the Gulf. So I'd like to start out with the Fannie Lou Center for Change. This is Miss Sheree Oates, and her contact information her phone number is 662-341-1752. And there's also an address here. I'm going to give it out. Now, these are folks that really need whatever you can spare. And I've got a list of the things that you can collect that I think are good for all of the places we've been talking about. The Fannie Lou Center is Fannie Lou Hamer, Fannie Lou Hamer Center. It's a center for change, and that's in Euphora, Mississippi, Euphora, and it's 2981 Lollars Grove. That's Lollars Grove in Mississippi, and the zip code is 39744. And the center number is 662-258-4855. And one of the things that all of these folks can use, one of the things, there's a list here that's not so, it's not huge, but children's clothing, warm clothing for children, shoes, coats, and you can always write down Coats for Kids by Operation Warm. If anybody and Ra, if you will get in touch with them out at Pine Ridge, I don't know if they're aware of it, but Coats for Kids is out of Las Vegas, Nevada, and all they really got to do, I'm told, is give a call down there, and they respond.
Okay.
Coats for Kids by Operation Warm. Just Google it. You'll get the information. And they need household supplies. They need coats. They need children's toys if you can get them to them as soon as you can. I mean, Christmas may come and go with what's going on right now, us being kind of into Christmas week. But I'm going to get you. But bad puppy. He's wanting attention. Sorry. So it may come and go, but the need goes on, and we're in deep winter already. And places are, you know, I have to tell you guys, though, they say it's such a huge bad thing that winter is like they've got a bad storm going on the East Coast and all of that. But, you know, when I was in college, and my mom used to tell me when she was young, I mean, this is not unusual winter weather. Snow comes. It's deep. The wind blows cold. I mean, it's very odd to me that folks would, you know, consider this so much more dramatic than. But what is dramatic and what is true is that people are in need, and especially children. So getting the Fannie Lou Hamer, Hamer Center out there for change. These are the things that they can use, especially the children's warm clothes. But any old coats, anything like that that you have, and really, people, just using common sense, we all know what folks really need. I also have the St. Paul Center for Resources, just a community resource center with Reverend Turner in Mobile, Alabama. Now the contact is, you can find the St. Paul Community Resource Center online, and Reverend Turner is online, but the address there is 1251-1255 Reb Street Bay in Mobile, Alabama, and that's 33065. Did I get that information out slowly enough, ladies?
Maybe one more time, repeat a little slower.
Okay. This is Reverend Turner and his St. Paul Community Resource. That's the St. Paul Community Resource. Gosh, do they need help. They really need help. There are people that he pulls into his center, but he doesn't have the cots, the beds. It's a very bad situation here in the Gulf area. Down here in what they call the Deep South, it's pretty awful. So his address is 1251-1255, and it's Rep Street Bay, Mobile, Alabama, and that's 33065. Did I get it?
33065.
Yeah. St. Paul Community Center. And with everything we're talking about, with getting stuff out to people, I also want to remember some of the folks that we work with and who are working with us all across. Now, I know there was somebody you wanted to give a shout out to, Ra, that you wanted to talk about. So,
You mean as far as presents go?
Well, yeah, we were going.
Yeah. Because we know that people will still be buying presents for each other, and that's. I mean, we're not saying don't do that, but we are a pagan show, and if you want to buy something that is very reasonable, very beautiful, I suggest go to Facebook, the Wired Art, WIRED, then ART, page. I just asked my brother, because I can't think of the first name. I feel so bad. This man made me the most gorgeous copper armband, and he works in, well, the wire, like he says, but, I mean, all kinds of things. He has a lot of elf ears, which is a very popular item, believe it or not, huh? And he's in Indiana, at French Lick, and if you go to the page, then you can, you know, get in touch with him. And he has, like I said, very reasonable, very beautiful work.
And what's the name of the page again?
Wired Art.
Okay. Wired Art.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to take a moment here to talk about, you know, we're going, you know, in the network here from the Atlantic Pacific. On the Pacific side, there's a store out there that's relatively new on the West Coast in California. I mean, they're a couple of years old, and they're in Los Angeles in Silver Lake. They're called the House of Intuition, and it's a wonderful group of people, a wonderful group of women who are shepherding this place out there. They do healing, they do yoga, they do of course, counseling and reading and astrology and, you know, just about everything you can think of. But basically, they also carry Daughters of Isis products. our misters and soaps or and incense are with them. And they are reaching out into the community in Los Angeles to provide services that usually in that neck of the woods are outrageous pricing on, you know, just really expensive. And Marlene Vargas and her group at House of Intuition have done such a wonderful job with such reasonable pricing and wonderful healing services, counseling services. They also have opened up a new place just down the street called the Echo Foot Lounge. And this is where you can go to come in and get organically kneaded, as they say. It's a massage and spa treatments. And as anybody who walks through the door, first off, the initial treatment is they give you a break. They take $5 off, and it's a $30 visit. Now, for $35 regularly to get a wonderful massage, it isn't private. It's open room. It's like the mud baths of San Francisco, as they say. But it's a beautifully appointed space with wonderful therapists working there and healers. And $35 for a massage, a full massage? Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Where in the world? You know, you just want to move to L.A. so you can get good body work now. So I wanted to. So Echo Foot Lounge, and I'm going to give you some information on how to find them. They're at 2148 West Sunset Boulevard in Echo Park, and you can find them by picking up the phone at 323-452-3668. And they're open Monday through Saturday from noon to 8. And on Sunday, they're open from 10 to 9:30. Those sound like my hours. I wanted to mention them. And House of Intuition is in Silver Lake, and it's a wonderful place to go. It's the big sister to Echo Foot Lounge, but you should check them both out now in Los Angeles. And moving on, who else do you have, Anita, that we need to bring the attention to here?
I think those were my three that I thought were the biggest, but there's other organizations that are doing amazing work. There's an organization that's formed just doing a lot of animal rescue, and specifically for cats, and they're finding that it's very, very hard to get these cats placed, and Hillsborough County, they believe Hillsborough County so-called rescue is getting paid to eliminate these cats. And if you want to think of a wonderful gift that you could give a family, I mean, if you can either foster or, you know, offer a forever home to one of these poor animals, not just cats, but for this particular organization, yes, cats, but there are also dogs, too. But I'm thinking with so many people not having the money to even buy groceries, they're unwillingly surrendering their animals because they just can't afford to keep them anymore. So this is something that I think everybody should think about as a possible option for
right.
gifts and just
yeah.
to be doing the right thing, you know.
Great.
So if anybody needs more information on that, I've done shows about it. I've had some of these animal rescue people on the air, and I know how to contact them here in the Tampa Bay area. So if you're interested in reaching out to them and providing a forever home or a foster home, just get in touch with me directly. My email is Anita Stewart, AnitaStewart, @gmail.com. I don't think anything, when I see children hungry or when I see these abandoned animals and people post these things on my page, I just can't stop crying. So I had to give a shout out for that.
Okay. That's a great idea. Rod, do you have anybody else that we should be thinking about here?
No, No, I don't have any kind of contact information or anything, but I would like to ask people not to forget our people in prisons. We know that a lot of people are in prisons for victimless crimes, and since we have corporations like CCA and that who have bought up prisons and have to keep the fill rate up to like 95% because they're a corporation, we have a lot of people in prison that shouldn't be there. So just don't forget them. That's all. Some people actually have done things and need some, I don't know, the whole prison situation I think is just immoral the way it's carried out. But so we do have people, though, who, for them, you know, maybe the family's forgotten or just written them off or something. But at the holiday time, it seems like everybody starts to feel more depressed if they don't have support. So if you know someone in prison, send them a care box that their prison would allow, or at least send a letter, a card. Just let them know that they haven't been forgotten.
That's a great idea. And I have some information I want to that has to go out here. It's going to take a little while, and please be patient with me, but it needs to go out. We're talking about most of the folks that are part of the frontline holiday, which is you can find on Facebook their page, a frontline holiday. I've been working with them all weekend, but I'm going to give you some more information here. Places to people to contact and places to ship to. And so, ladies, if you don't mind, I'm going to take the floor for a minute to get this information out to folks.
Please, yes.
The 9th annual Bayou Christmas to benefit Gulf Coast tribal families donation drive is underway for the Isle de Jean Charles Band of Biloxi, Chitimacha Choctaw in New Orleans, Louisiana, and the donations are needed for the holidays to help tribal communities in Pointe aux Chênes and Isle de Jean Charles in the, and I believe it's pronounced Tarbonne or Tierbonne Parish. I'm not sure. It could be just T-bone, but
that's,
I don't think.
Tarbonne.
Okay.
And good land. Good land is really what it means, but it's terrible.
Thank you. In recent years, these small communities have been hit hard by increasing hurricanes, and they don't receive any federal assistance to aid in their recovery. The massive BP oil spill in 2010 severely affected families by devastating the shrimp, fish, oyster harvest they depend on for food and income, and anybody who's lived in the South and enjoys the deep South of Mississippi and Louisiana and Alabama and the panhandle of Florida knows that people who live there used to live off the sea too, not just make a living there. So that's dried up for them. We don't know if it'll ever come back. So Bayou Christmas is a collaborative effort of the nonprofit organization Plenty International, and Chief Albert Naquin and the Isle de Jean Charles Band of the Biloxi Chitimacha Choctaw Tribal Council members Teresa Dardar of Pointe aux Chênes and Angela Monty Fox with the nonprofit The Mothers Project, Inc. All of them are part of this, and the donations are collected for the Bayou Christmas will help over 60 families that collect the collection of over 15 children. And it'll be distributed from now until the 21st this weekend. So there's still time to help these people out through Plenty International. As we said before, children's clothes, warm coats, shoes, you know, from toddler to teens, household supplies, you know, like dish soap and things to clean, you know, comet, you know, stuff to clean with. And, of course, foodstuffs and any kind of money you can send in, too. So the toys and gifts can be sent to Chief Albert Naquin or Teresa Dardar. And the address here is 100 Dennis Street, 3731 Oak Point Road. Okay, excuse me here. 100 Dennis Street, Montegut, Louisiana, 70377. That's 100 Dennis Street for Chief Albert Naquin. And it's Montegut, M-O-N-T-G-U-T, Louisiana, and that's 70377. And then Teresa Dardar, and that's D-A-R-D-A-R, is 3731 Oak Point Road. That's 3731 Oak Point Road in Montegut, too. M-O-N-T-E-G-U-T, Louisiana, 70377. Cash donations are going to be used to purchase gift cards for families for local stores. Checks can be made out to Plenty International and sent to P.O. Box 394. This is Plenty, P-L-E-N-T-Y, International, and sent to P.O. Box 394. And that's Summertown, S-U-M-M-E-R-T-O-W-N, Tennessee. 38483. That's Summerton, Tennessee, 38483. And put a notation, Buy You Christmas, on it. Or you can use your credit card to make a donation via PayPal at www.plenty.org. Now, to me, that's wonderful because I might have an extra $5 tomorrow and I can use my PayPal account to go over to www.plenty.org and I can give some money. It's not everything in the world, but it's going to help. It's going to do something. So donations can be made via the Mothers Project, Inc., through their website. And their website is just themothersproject.org, all lowercase, themothersproject.org. And there's a phone number where you can get in touch with someone who can help you with all of it. And that phone number is 646-519-1076. And I'll say it again. This is for Plenty International. And it's 646-519-1076. Now, for more information, you can contact Elaine Langley, who's the project coordinator. And her phone number is 931-215-4163. That's Elaine Langley, the project coordinator for Plenty International. And her number is 931-215-4163. Now, if you can't remember who these folks are, they have some notoriety. If you go over, you can watch the movie trailer for the movie about them called Can't Stop the Water. It's a new documentary about Isle de Jean Charles, and there's a link where you can find it at. I'm going to be putting it into our chat room, but it's over on Vimeo, and I'll put it into the notes of this show. There's a lot to be said for it, so. It'll give you a lot of information on what's going on and how bad it really is. What the Gulf oil spill has done to devastate the southeast of this country is, you know, one of the best kept secrets, one of the best kept secrets from the rest of the country and the politicians and leadership and everybody. I mean, am I right, Anita?
Oh, yeah. This is, it's been, I hate to use this term, but it's been a mind fuck of extraordinary proportions. I can't think of any other description for what's happened in the Gulf and how everything, literally everything, has been controlled by money. From the advertising by BP, from our local representatives, from the media, you name it, it's been controlled. Even the BP money that went to the communities never went back to the people that were actually affected by the oil spill. It went to the cities and towns and communities themselves.
That's common.
And they didn't, they didn't do anything good with it. They didn't help the people. And to this date, not a single person in the Gulf region has been paid out on a medical claim. Not one.
No. Oh, my God.
Not one. And people are sick and dying. In fact, one doctor that was on my show some time ago, Dr. Wilma Subra, probably 9 months to a year ago, we were talking about the Assumption Parish our salt dome that had collapsed. So she was on the show about that, but she was doing a lot of research, and I asked her, how many people are reporting to you? And she told me 350,000 have reported to her. Over a quarter million people. We're talking about just
one person has had it settled?
Nope. It's like it never existed. It's like the illnesses never existed. And if BP pays out one claim that's a medical claim, then they'll be liable for all the rest.
Right.
So they're never, ever going to admit.
Yeah,
so it's going to be very similar to what happened with the Exxon Valdez, where a lot of these claims, after much legal wrangling that took decades, the people got their settlements. Some of them got their settlements after they were already dead, or their families got
We need a decent class action attorney who's on our side, a real shark that'll go after them,
We have the attorneys. There have been attorneys that have done that, but they have, since the medical is so hard to prove, they've gotten, like, if somebody's lost a business or if somebody's lost, cash flow or the tourist didn't come or whatever the case may be, these are the kinds of things that have been paid out, but nobody that's been desperately ill, because they have always attributed to whatever conditions that the people had to something else in their lifestyle. You smoke too much, you drink too much, you had a heart problem but you never had it taken care of, or whatever the case may be, it can be altered on paper. Diagnoses can be altered on paper. And then the other big issue is the HIPAA laws, which has kept a lot of, because of the current HIPAA laws, which are, right to privacy for patients and their conditions, a lot of this information's never been brought to light because of those laws. So there you go.
I'd like to continue to get some of this information out about these groups down here in the Gulf area that I have. And before I go on, I want to take a moment here to talk about the person who's actually given me a leg up into helping and connected me with most of these people, who's been the producer on the back end of Saturday and Sunday and tonight's show, and that would be Sheree Voigtlin. The lady is tireless. I mean, she's, she's been out there delivering gifts and goods and anything that they've gotten in, and she's gone and collected, and then she's gone and delivered with Kim goodness, I don't want to forget her number. McCluiston.
Kimberly McCluiston, a very good friend of mine. I know her personally, and Cherie Foytlin as well, I know personally, and those two are real women warriors for the Gulf region. And Kimberly McCluiston, of course, living very close to the southern portion of where, you know, the XL is going to go through. And they're fighting like mad down there to not allow it to happen. But I'm saying down there, it's really up. But they're working so hard to stop it before it's
right. So I want to shine the light on Cherie and the people she's been working with. She's been coordinating so damn much, and she texts me and emails me information, gives me a ring, lets me know who's there and who isn't. And in all of that, there are some numbers, folks, that if you're listening with a pencil in hand out there, there's a couple of other groups here that you might want to think about. I'll let you know where they are. They're in the Alabama and Mississippi area. Most of these are church groups. And, you know, it's the churches that are standing up right now. Well, not the Catholic Church, but you know what I mean. The churches are the only place that people have to turn, and they need help just desperately. And in that crowd are usually women who are coordinating everything that's going on. And I want you to know the banners and some of the names and phone numbers so you can get in touch if you wish to. The Ready for a Change National Women in Agriculture Movement and Mount Sinai FWC, these ladies in the South, Darlene Campbell, and her number is 601-947-0441. She's going to help you give. If you're just choosing some place to help, I mean, there's people out there, guys, who are doing incredible things. He doesn't wear a Santa suit, but he's all in red, and he just gives out money, $100 bills to people. You know who I'm talking about? He's been all over the news. And then there's the ex-CEO from PayPal who's been out there with Tips for Jesus, who's actually been out there tipping $6,000, $12,000, $2,000, I mean thousands of dollars for $100 bills at restaurants and such to make a difference in the communities traveling through. This has been going on for the last month. Surely you guys have seen this in the news.
I personally haven't, but I want to say, I mean, that's great, and the fact of the matter is, if they didn't have it, they wouldn't be. So we don't want people to get discouraged and think, well, you know, I'm living on a real budget, and I can't even compare with those people. Because this isn't any kind of a competition. It's everybody do what they can.
Right.
And,
absolutely.
You know,
it's sending, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I mean, sending a few blankets someplace, sending presents for the kids, you know, sending some cash, just whatever you can do, it all adds up. It all counts.
It does.
And you were mentioning the churches and religions, and then remember the story in the Bible about the people who were, you know, giving all this wealth, and then there was some widow who gave, you know, some tiny, tiny little bit, and Jesus said it counted more because it was all she had.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to do a sermon here, but it really is, and we find that people who don't have a lot are the first to share what they have.
And that's always been true.
Yes,
always been true. I mean, historically, that's just a truth about humanity, and that's why we're going to make it.
Yeah, Oh, I have so much faith in us.
That's why we're gonna be all right. We're gonna be better than all right. But you know, the challenge is in the moment. And
exactly. Right.
Polarity,
like getting from here to
is
there.
Our
yes.
Teacher. Polarity is our great teacher, as you've just told us. I mean, there are the haves and the have-nots. And, you know, we all take our spins on the karmic wheel. Could come back next time with a big have. And it will be our responsibility to remember that once before we did not have at all. You know? Maybe the guy from PayPal is remembering a little bit of that. You know, it's nice to understand. So, I also would love to bring attention to the evangelist Caroline Smith. She's with a group called Inspired to Serve Hope, and you can find Ms. Smith at the phone number 601-402-1402. Inspired to Serve Hope. That's 601-402-1402. All of these ladies are trying to make a difference in their little small towns in Alabama and Mississippi. So they need any kind of help you can give. And they're reachable only by the telephone. So these are the bottom down there, the bottom of the list, because we tend to put the people we can contact online that we can contact.
Right.
At the top. Yeah. These are the ladies who are at the bottom of the list because they've got phone numbers. Heck, when I finally got a hold of these ladies, I got to tell you this. On Friday, when I finally got a hold of these ladies for, you know, confirming that they would be in the broadcast, I couldn't find any of them. Finally, the daughter of Sheree Oates from the Fannie Lou Hamer Center answered a phone, and she told me, oh, they're all here. We're having a benefit for somebody's son to send him to Washington with the band.
Oh.
And so, I mean, you know, I got all these ladies, Darlene Campbell, Caroline Smith, Ms. Ursula Adams, and Carrie Benn. All of them were all together, and they were on with me on Sunday. My goodness, do they have needs? So, you know, if you can, these are the, and you will find in my show notes for this radio show, you will find the number where to get a hold, the number where you can get a hold of them. So please take a look. There's a lot to do down there. Also, Moss Point, Mississippi, the Community Development Task Force can get you in touch with all of them, and that's Daphne Veverette, and her phone number is 228-627-0511. I know I did that too fast, Rob.
Perfect. Well, the good thing is all of this is going to be in the show notes.
It's also, I think I've put it on Facebook anyways, it's Daphne Veverette, Community Development Task Force down in Moss Point, Mississippi. And this is area code 228, and the number is 627-0511. Well, we've been on an hour, but I scheduled us for 90 minutes, ladies. I've just sort of given everybody I have, just any... Can we? I guess we can stay on as long as we wish now and do as we please.
I want to give a recommendation for this book that I've been reading. It's absolutely amazing. I just started reading it. Actually, I was following the author on Twitter for quite some time. Her name is Rivera Sun, and she's been on Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox Radio Show. She lives in an Earth ship in New Mexico, And she wrote an incredible book called Dandelion Insurrection. I have not been able to put it down. I can read you the little description of it. It says, in a time that looms around the corner of today under a gathering storm of tyranny, Zadie Bird Gray whirls into the life of small-town reporter Charlie Ryder and asks him to become the voice of the Dandelion Insurrection. With the rallying cry of life, liberty, and love, Zadie and Charlie fly across America, leaving a wake of revolution in their path. Passion erupts, danger abounds, the lives of millions hang by a thin thread of courage, betrayal and intrigue, but in the middle of the madness, the golden soul of humanity blossoms and miracles start to unfold. Author Rivera Sun creates mythic characters from everyday people. She infuses the story of our times with practical solutions and visionary perspectives, drawing the reader into a world both terrifying and inspiring, a world that could be our own. And I highly recommend this book. I'm enjoying it completely. I'm not sure if I can, in my mind's eye, see it as a movie. Rather, I see it as more of a play. If it could be translated from the book to a play, that would be quite awesome. And Rivera Sun is also a playwright. So, and she is on Twitter. I'm going to try to find her Twitter account real quick.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, Anine. Great. It sounds like a wonderful Christmas gift. Also, please
Rivera Sun authors. Hashtag Rivera, Rivera SunAuthor. That's her user ID on Twitter.
Cool. I still, it would be, this is a great time to remind folks that Starhawk is still raising money on for her project, The Fifth Sacred Thing, getting it made into a movie. That is a fabulous book along
that
the
way. That book is, oh my God, that book, it's something, I don't even have words for that book.
Going back to that book and reading sections of it and seeing how it parallels our everyday life right now, which is pretty amazing. And she wrote that book in 93, I think it was. So it's quite amazing that it applies to today. And it's been 20 years since she wrote that book.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I've been finding that things that she was writing about then, they're much more predominant now. She was just a bit ahead of her time for a lot of people. In maybe not in the pagan world so much, but in the other world.
This is the lady we are talking about, the woman who wrote The Spiral Dance, remember? She's been ahead of the curve. She's brought everybody to the curve in a lot of ways.
That's funny because, you know, I have a couple friends who, if I say something about Starhawk, or they say, you know, there's always people asking you for your list of books, you know, who's been instrumental in your pagan life or whatever, or who do you recommend? You know, you've got a newbie, what do you recommend? I always recommend Spiral Dance. And a friend of mine in Vegas, he said, no, I don't want to tell him that because, you know, she's so political. And I'm like, well, yeah, she's political. I mean, I blame her for a lot of who I am now. Because
Right, exactly.
You know, isn't that it? Because when I was first getting in this, I mean, she was like one of the first, Phaedra and Althea had, they were reading Spiral Dance, it's like, you know, recommending it. And I started in, I couldn't put down the book, and so I always thought that our form of paganism was political. And I didn't realize that everybody isn't that way until, you know, I'd been doing it for a while. It's like, well, aren't we political? Aren't we supposed to be? Isn't that the way it is?
It's been said, and I don't know which of our founding fathers said it, but Adam Kokesh ended up saying it too. He said, You don't do politics? Well, if you don't do politics, politics will soon be doing you.
Very, yes.
And nothing could be truer, because if your eyes aren't open and you're not willing to admit what's going on around you and you're ready to sweep all that under the rug, or you're in a constant process of denial, it's going to happen to you, and you're going to be there, and you're going to say, well, why didn't I fight back? And then you're going to wonder why, you know, your children are going to wonder, and your grandchildren, why didn't you fight back when you had the chance to?
Exactly.
So, you know, there's a whole bunch of different examples of this happening today.
Well, there are, but I'm still amazed at the number of people who fall under the self-stated umbrella of pagan, who don't want to hear anything about quote-unquote politics. That, you know, it's like, well, I'm not interested in that. Just, you know, leave me alone. I'm going to go.
Well, ladies, it takes a lot of energy, and it takes a lot of work to really be caught up to date and to do the due diligence and to understand what's really happening in the political world. It's getting thrust upon people now because the world's collapsing. The old order is collapsing. So people are, as they say right now, waking up. But the truth is, people who have any kind of intelligence are, well, that's a bad thing to say. Let me go back and say that was wrong. People,
okay, don't put it that way. Yeah.
Right. People who have, say, a keener sense of things that are happening around them, even when they've been too busy to look up and take notice for a long time. Those people, generally they're voters, they're people who strive to, who create their lives built on dreams and ambitions that are usually very positive. And they're a part of the community that represent the best foundation that we have. That's the local sustainability, are people like that. And I would include myself and you both in that. And people who ignore or who haven't had the ability to spend the time to find out, you can't really say that they want to run away from the politics. It's just that they don't want to hear it if they can't be informed enough. And then there are the people who will say, and especially shocking when you consider that pagans are so earth-tied, earth-bound, and with their spirit awareness in the sky, and that they can go on and on under the auspices of leadership on a planetary label or level that has absolutely no care for the planet, for the sky, for anything.
Yeah.
How stand away. I get it. But these folks are people who are playing at whatever their spiritual expression is. If you ask me, they're not understanding the incredible connectiveness and cohesion of all that is. And that's what it really boils down to. It's all that is. They're still putting deity outside of themselves. They're not connecting nature to them. If you ask me, and I suppose that's a pretty strong statement, but doesn't it make sense?
Well, it does. And they may mouth the interconnectedness word, but they're not feeling it.
Yeah. One of the things that I noticed about a lot of the pagans here was there seemed to be more of a run to, with the festivals and the good weather we have pretty much year round. Everybody seems to be more on a party mode instead of getting into like an elder circle and actually passing the talking stick and trying to figure out how to help communities or bring communities together. Everybody goes to these festivals, and it's more of like an amped-up party mode instead of doing any real work or taking advantage of the time together to do community building. And I just see very, very little of that.
It's really an opportunity for those of us who understand that there's something wrong with that dynamic, to walk in and say, listen, brothers, sisters, you know, try to wake people up and say, hey, are you really understanding your disconnect from your nature? Because if you don't care about what's going on in the world in general now, because we're so connected globally, that, you know, if you're not going to take responsibility for yourself on all levels of being, because that's I think, what's going on. But that's a personal opinion. It doesn't have
And the thing about it is I think the festivals are great for partying. That's I'm not saying don't party. I'm not saying don't have fun and don't have an opportunity to get together and do something crazy and drum around the fire and dance and raise holy hell. But, you know, these other things need to be done within communities, too, to help communities. And unfortunately, the festivals have become money-making endeavors. Everybody
gets
really...
The one I always talk about doesn't make a lot of money, actually, now. But it would be Starwood, which is in Ohio. And there's, well, you know, there's 160-some workshops. And, yes, some are... Yeah, you know, just more fun than anything else, and there's nothing wrong with that. But we also have, like, serious people. Do you know who Harvey Wasserman is? He wrote So, you know, he comes, he talks about these kind of issues. He talks political issues. We have other people talking about politics. We have other people talking about, like, making the solar things, you know, the environment. So Starwood itself actually has a lot of... that plus the partying, so it managed to, you know, do it all, really. But I think that some people come to, well, they come to paganism because they think that it's just party time, you know, so it depends on how they get into it.
Right.
Well, perhaps that's true. Most of the people that I've met at pagan fairs and festivals, the majority of them seem to be very true to what I think is a pagan nature. They might not be able to devote as much time as I do because it's part of who I am. My walk in life happens to be spiritual, and I make it's also how I make my living. Pardon me.
And, you know, I don't have any quick fixes on how to fix that. I just think that, you know, people should come together and especially the elders and try to figure out, you know, how can we bring our communities together? How can we help people within our own community, our own religious community, if you want to call it religious, some wouldn't.
No,
but,
I know. Excuse me.
And how to help the people in need and you know, just reach out to those that are in need and have a togetherness that I don't think we have currently.
You know, I'd like to say something there. I don't want to ever call it religious myself.
I know. I just put that word out there because I couldn't think of any other word. But that, you know what I meant. Maybe, I didn't mean religious. Perhaps I meant spiritual. Maybe that's a better word.
I think it's a better word, yeah. But I work with a lot of, I worked all weekend with religious church ladies and stuff, and they were wonderful, sincere, loving people who wanted to do nothing but be pagans for their community, if you ask me. They were just lovely people. So, you know, labels are getting to be sort of a sticky thing, you know? They don't really... They're not too true anymore, are they?
Right. Yeah. Hmm.
I don't know. Are they? Raw?
Some. But I think that I think that people are fighting the labels now more. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Are they fighting about them? Somebody was really taking me to the mat the other day because I wouldn't box myself in with a label. And he was very upset with me. And so I mean, I understand labels generally, so you sort of know where somebody's coming from, but to narrow it down and box in, to me that doesn't work so well either. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not sure myself. I've found that after experiencing what I just went through these past couple weeks, there was a lot of labels thrown out. I wish people would stop using them, but there's a lot of preconceived notions about people, and I wish people didn't have those either.
Yeah.
You know, you figure, okay, since this person's a woman, she's going to react this way, or if this person is, you know, over 50, this person's going to react that way. And that's not necessarily true.
There's a lot going on right now about labels. Labels are becoming something. I don't know. I've seen it with a group of people I'm close to in actually a family of people who I write with and stuff. The labeling got to be a topic this past weekend. And I think also right now we're going through a time of incredibly amped up magnetics. Whatever is happening in the stars and planets and whatever whispers are coming out of the heart of heaven, we're really getting a Uhuru Khan, if you will, in that direction too. We're shifting ages here. So you're quite right, Anita. It's time for the elders to take a stand and help shepherd us through, you know? And excuse me, but I have to stand here and say, yeah, and I'm one of the elders, simply because age is giving me that title right now, and not because I may be wise or anything. It's just that when you're older, you will get called an elder, especially in this country.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
It used to be that elder was a title reserved for the folks who had contributed so much through their life to the community. And they became the wise ones. but anymore, the word elder, I just saw a new show on HBO about, I think it's called Moving On. It's thoroughly ridiculous and it does nothing but make painful fun of people who are in long-term care in a comedy. It may be an ironic statement about that situation overall. The show's point may be that. But it really hurt my feelings as a human being. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it makes sense.
I don't know. But we were here talking about charity, and we are trying to push through so that folks will understand there's a need out there greater than the need we might have sitting here. I mean, if we have, what was it you said today, Ra? If we have a warm place to be and food and a bed, we're blessed. And
we're blessed. And water that's drinkable, potable water, that helps.
I mean, it's you know, I've seen coming out of my own tap lately. I'm really concerned about the quality of life in this country right now that nobody's talking about.
Nobody's talking.
You know, you have to make it an issue and do a documentary on it. And then you're not going to get any attention either.
I know people say, well, don't buy, you know, water in plastic. Well, I'm sorry, I do, because I buy spring water. And the water, I don't have a filter for my shower, but other water that I use, I do filter it first, because the water in the town I live in is so bad. And I'm not, it doesn't taste bad, but you can see what it's like, and what it does to your pots and pans. Yes, I really don't care for it to be doing that to my insides. Thank you.
I've got the same thing going. I've been told, though, by, you know, I'm going to slap somebody. The next person who tells me that Brita is not enough to filter your water, I'm going to slap that person because, it's, you know, it shouldn't cost me a fortune to be healthy.
No.
Should. But this is what it is. It costs us a fortune to be healthy.
I think Brita doesn't get the fluoride out. That's one of the things it doesn't get out.
Well, there
and we know fluoride is really, really bad for us. So that, you know, it's just you do the best you can. You try not to put these horrible things in your body any more than you have to. Sometimes it's scary, I mean, when you start thinking about it, really.
Well, being Hillsborough County Soil and Water Board seat 5 person, way before I ever was elected to that board, I was buying spring water. I was just too afraid. I was tasting chemical stuff in my tap water, and then I remember when I moved to Zephyr Hills, which is the home of Florida spring water, basically, but the plant's been taken over by a German multinational corporation, Nestle, of course, and the site of the spring actually is about 20 miles from here. And when I first moved to Zephyr Hills, the water coming out of the tap was beautiful. It was coming from the spring. It was all clear, and I had never drank water like that out of the tap, ever. And then we moved from one area, Zephyr Hills, to another, and within, I'd say, 6 months, we got a notice in the mail stating that all the water would be on city water, that it would no longer be pumped to us from the spring. And I wish I had saved that letter, but I could taste the difference immediately.
Sure.
It was all chemicals. It wasn't just a placebo effect. I could actually taste the difference.
You can taste the difference. I remember when I did live in Chicago, I had the water delivered, you know, the spring water in the 5-gallon thingies. And,
right.
You know, where I live now, that's just, you know, there's nobody to, I mean, I'm in a small town, that doesn't happen, so I have to buy the jugs myself. You can definitely tell the difference. Beyond a doubt.
Well, before we go off the air, ladies, I would like for Rob, would you please once again give your contact for Pine Ridge?
Oh, yes.
The information, because we're at the end of our show, lady.
Right.
Wow.
I have
really
the phone number for Katandi Bulger. It's 909-496-1126. And you can contact Myrna Youngbear at P.O. Box 96, that's in Porcupine, South Dakota, 57772. And this is to help the Pine Ridge and the Rosebud reservations. They're Lakota, and this is in the prairie land of South Dakota, which is, this area is the poorest area in the United States. The people who are lucky enough, they end up with about $2,400 a year to live on. So
wow,
yeah. I mean,
before we go, please, people, those of you who are listening, whatever you can give, please remember, folks, and help out. Also, if you're looking for presents, if you're looking for presents for your friends, I want to help mention some of our friends. One of our friends is Flash Silvermoon, and she makes wonderful elixirs. And you can go on over to her site, which is flashsilvermoon.com, and you can find her elixirs for everything from prosperity to protection to cleansing. Just go on over there and take a look. And remember, they make wonderful healing They make wonderful healing gifts for Christmas time. Also, the Bayou Christmas and a Frontline Holiday, I would really like folks to remember that the contact is Elaine Langley, and the phone number is 931 215-4163, and all those folks in the Gulf area that she's able to reach out to, just reach out to her and do what you can. Anita?
Yeah, let me go over mine real quick. The Metro Ministries in Tampa, you can find them online at MetroMin, that's MetroMin.org. You can donate online. You can. There's a myriad of different ways you can help that organization. The next one is the Refuge in St. Pete. That's located at 3301 58th Avenue North, St. Petersburg, Florida, 33714. Connect with Reverend Bruce Wright. Bruce Wright, I don't think the Reverend's on it in Facebook. His last name is spelled W-R-I-G-H-T. And you can find RefugeSt.Pete.org. It's R-E-F-U-G-E-S-T-P-E-T-E. org online. And then the most recent one that I just got an hour before the showtime was here in Dade City. There's a new food bank opening up, and lots of local people need help. This used to be the Orange, the migrant workers area. There was a lot of migrant workers that lived here because there was an orange industry in Dade City, which really doesn't exist anymore. We have a lot of poor people in the community. They are opening a food bank. Get in touch with Thomas Flessas, F-L-E-S-S-A-S. His phone number is 352-807-4839 if you can help. Oh, and don't forget to listen to my show, 10 o'clock Friday night, Wise Women Media, right on this network.
Here be monsters.
Yep, here be monsters.
Let's remember.
Right.
Here be monsters. And, oh, please, if you're hearing, listen, if you are hearing this show and you mention it in the field, buying at daughtersofisis.com, I will take $5 out of each purchase that is made between now and the holiday, the end of the year. The end of the holidays, and I will put it into the PayPal account of Plenty International. Now, that's a promise. You can only know.
That's wonderful. Okay, yes.
If you'll just write Plenty International in the notes part of your order, then please know I'm going to be putting $5, of, even if it's only a $15, $16 purchase,
yeah.
We're still going to get it done. Okay?
That's
all right.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you for doing this show. It was marvelous. I was honored to be a part of it.
Well, thank you, ladies, for coming on and helping me carry it through. It's been 3 days now, and I want to thank Nicole Tomasini, my good buddy of Spirit Therapy, on Monday evenings, who was with me for Saturday.
Right.
And I want to thank my co-host for the Sunday show, Jack Jodell. And always, always, Ruth Ann Amartafeo with Air Amartafeo. And Wise Woman Media with Anita Stewart. Thank you, ladies, so much.
Thank you, ladies. Thank you. This was good.
Night and wonderful holidays, everyone.
Yes.
Bye.
Yes. Happy Yule, Happy New Year. Oh, wonderful.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Happy Yule. Thank you. This has been Here Be Monsters on a Tuesday evening. We are generally known as The Ceremony. We'll be back next month with a ceremony. Good night.